So today is the topical class, and before he left for India, Maharaj asked me to give it on the holy name. So the verse is on the board here. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Purveyena dakshina yaite loka nistarila.
Purveyena dakshina yaite loka nistarila.
Paschima deshe taiche sabha vaishnava karila. Translation. When the Lord toured South India, he delivered many people, and when he traveled in the western sector, he similarly converted many people to Vaishnavism. The title of this chapter is The Lord Travels to Vrindavan. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted people when he toured southern and western India. Similarly, this Hare Krishna movement is now delivering the people of the western world wherever devotees are chanting the holy names. This is all being done by the Lord's mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that he would deliver people in every city and village of the world by giving them a chance to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Varanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvase Sasunyavadi Vaskya Tadeshatarne Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo. So we'll say the verse responsibly. When the Lord toured southern India, he delivered many people. And when he traveled in the western sector, he similarly converted many people to Vaishnavism. So here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recently taken sannyas. We mentioned that he appeared on this planet a little over 520 years ago, 523, be 24 very soon. And he spent the first 24 years in the Navadvipa area, first with his childhood pastimes, then as a student, a very exceptional student, then as a teacher and a grihastha. He married twice. His first wife passed away. He married again on the request of his mother. And then in the beginning of his 24th year, he renounced everything. He took sannyas. And the people in Navadvipa were devastated. And on the request of his mother, Sachimata, he agreed to make his headquarters in Jagannath Puri, because she said Jagannath Puri and Navadvipa are like two houses or two rooms in the same house, because devotees go back and forth regularly. So she could regularly get news of Lord Chaitanya and his activities. So he traveled by foot from Navadvipa to Jagannath Puri. And when he got there, he had a meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a lengthy discussion with Sarvabhauma. And after that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a renowned Mayavadi with many followers of his own, became a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was a great historic moment in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission. And from there he went to South India, Lord Chaitanya, by foot. For 2 years he traveled. And he distributed the holy name widely to wherever he met. And it had such potency that he would introduce it to one person, and that person would take it back to his village and introduce it to the villagers there. And in that way, countless people were influenced to chant the Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya returned to Jagannath Puri, and then he left for this tour of Vrindavan that we're reading about in this chapter. And the same thing happened again. Wherever he went, there are many adventures unique to this place, but the underlying theme was that again he would give the Maha Mantra widely, and people would take it into their hearts and into their lives, and they were transformed, which is what Prabhupada is writing about here. So this topical class is on the Maha Mantra. And the first question one can ask, being introduced to the topic, is that here we have the Maha Mantra written for us, and the letters are the same letters that we use in hundreds of thousands of other words in English. and we make them with our larynx, with this material thing. And they come out in the air, which is also material. Krishna says earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are my external energies, so the air is certainly material. We hear them with our ears, which is also a combination of material things. So where is the spiritual potency? Where does that come from? So it's a very good question. And we answered it by beginning with a statement by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's follower, Jiva Goswami. Now, Jiva Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. His father's name was Anupama. And Anupama, his father, passed away when Jiva Goswami was fairly young. Anupama's elder brothers were Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So it's an extraordinary family. Means that Jiva Goswami was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. So after his father passed away, Jiva Goswami first went to Benares, where he studied philosophy, became very scholarly. And then, on the instruction of Nityananda Prabhu, he went to Vrindavan. And there he took shelter of his uncle, Rupa Goswami. And after his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, passed away, he became, in his own right, an extraordinary scholar. And some say, in all of history, there's never been a greater scholar than Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami made one statement, which is very relevant to this. And he said, unless you accept the inconceivable potency of God, you do not accept God. Or you can put it in positive terms. If you accept God, it means you accept his inconceivable potency. So in other words, just 2 days ago, we celebrated Govardhan Puja. We heard the pastime. And so we have this pastime when this small boy lifts up a hill and holds it overhead for 7 days, 7 nights. So one can say, well, this is a problem. There's so much weight in that hill. How can a small boy hold up a hill? That's just one problem. Another problem is that unless earth is supported, it falls down. So he was holding it with a very small bit, so it means all the rest of the earth should have fallen down, yeah? And besides that, how do you separate the hill from the earth? Just now we had, for how many months, we had these machines going for weeks creating all sorts of pollution and noise. And what did they do? After all those weeks, there was a trench about 5 feet deep. And there was no question of lifting up even this little castle, right, with all that noise and machinery and men working. So to separate a hill from the earth is a bit of a problem. So if you look at it just in terms of logic or conceivability, you can say, well, gosh, that's not possible. But that means, once we say that, it means we don't accept God. Jiva Goswami says, unless you accept the inconceivable potency of God, you don't accept God. So what God does is described in the Shastras, the scriptures, and how he does it, and where he does it, and who he does it with, and why he does it. In that case, it was because Indra felt offended. In the case of Govardhan Puja, Indra was offended and was sending down, out of season, he was sending down all this rain and sleet, and the area of Vrindavan was becoming filled with water. He couldn't tell the highland from the lowland. And so Krishna's devotees were in great distress. So to protect his devotees, in this case, Krishna did this act out of his kindness and reciprocation with his devotees. So we have the scriptures that give us these pastimes of the Lord. Plus we have the sadhus to explain the pastimes to us. And we have our spiritual master to make them relevant to our lives. So it's three: guru, sadhu, and shastra. And from this we have a very firm basis for understanding God and his activities. Very immovable basis. So it's not that we can make up and be whimsical. Oh, God's inconceivable, so I can say he did this, that, or the next thing. No, it must be confirmed by guru, sadhu, and shastra. So when we come to the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How are we to understand the potency, the extraordinary potency? So we turn to the shastra. And in the Padma Purana, there's one shloka, Nama Chintamani Krishnas is the first line. So Nama, the holy name of Krishna, is Chintamani. Chintamani, Prabhupada gives a very wonderful explanation of Chintamani. He says, the transcendentally blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. Chintamani. The transcendentally blissful giver of all spiritual benedictions. So, Nama Chintamani Krishnas. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Chaitanya is the spiritual living force. Rasa means mellows, transcendental mellows, and Vigraha is the form. So the holy name has the form of transcendental mellows, which is spiritual. Then, Purna, it's complete. Sudha, it's pure. Nitya, it's eternal. And Mukta, it's liberated. Purna, Sudha, Nitya, Mukta. So why is it all these things? This is something very extraordinary. And that is explained in the last line of this verse from the Padma Purana. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath. The last line is Vinadvam Nama Namino. Nama means the name, and Namino means the person who is named. And Vinadvam means non-different. There is no difference between the name and the person who is being named. Krishna and his name are non-different. And Prabhupada, in a lecture, he explained this word Purna means complete. It's not that Krishna's 99% in his name. He's 100% in his name. So therefore, it has this extraordinary potency. It is Krishna himself. So 520 plus years ago, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, descended as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he brought with him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as his holy name. And he gave that throughout the subcontinent of India, at least the southern and western sections. And therefore, it had this incredible potency because it was delivered so purely. And we find countless people being touched by the holy name. So one can ask, well, gosh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I don't have... the effect isn't there for me. Another very good question. Why is that? So there's a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Harinam Chintamani. And in that book, he describes a conversation between Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Haridas Thakur, how can the jivas be delivered from material existence? And Haridas Thakur answers Lord Chaitanya very philosophically. And in part, he says that in different ages, there are different ways in which the jivas can be delivered. In Satya Yuga, it was through meditation. People were very qualified at that time, and they could meditate for long periods of time. In Treta Yuga, the next stage, it was through incredible sacrifices, elaborate sacrifices with golden utensils and mantras chanted perfectly by Pakka Brahmins. And then in Dwarpa Yuga, it's through temple worship, very opulent temple worship. But in this age, people have all sorts of disqualifications. We have short memories, we have short lives, very weak bodily and bodily strength, very easily distracted. It's a very pitiful condition of the human race, even though we're so proud of our so-called advancement. In actuality, we're very unfortunate. In many ways, in this age, we're riddled by all sorts of diseases, constantly new diseases. So in this age, Lord Chaitanya very kindly came as the holy name. And the recommended procedure for advancing in God consciousness is by chanting the holy name of the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur, in their discussion, they were also concerned with the quality of the chanting. The Sudhanam, where the chanting is completely pure. And then there's Nambas. Nambas means a reflection, a glimmer of the holy name. It's not pure. And then there's Nam Aparad, which is very impure. So most of us do not taste the full-blown result of chanting because we're not chanting sudhana, completely purely. There's still some covering there over the sun of the holy name. And Haridas Thakur explained that until one knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full and understands our existence as a jivatma, part and parcel of the Lord, and understands this material nature, the Lord's external energy, and also understands the holy name itself, then one will have this nambas, which is like a cloud. Here in Belgium, it's very frequent. Day after day, we have a thick cloud over the sun, so we cannot enjoy the rays of the sun. So this nambas is compared to those clouds between us and the sun of the holy name. But even with nambas, we're not to be discouraged, because nambas itself is purifying. Through nambas, one can have all sorts of spiritual benedictions. And it's described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in this Chaitanya Charitamrita that Haridas Thakur, at one point, he was traveling and he came to a city known as Chandapura. And in Chandapura, there were Brahmins living, two of them. One was Govardhan and one was Haranya. They were brothers. And it so happens that Govardhan is the father of Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the other six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So Haridas Thakur was there and chanting always as he did. And there was a meeting of Brahmins in this town of Chandapur. And they started discussing about the effects of chanting the holy name. And some of them said, well, by chanting the holy name, one becomes free of material distress. And others said, no, that's not right. By chanting the holy name, one gets liberation. And they were going back and forth and couldn't come to a conclusion. So they approached Haridas Thakur as the Namacharya for the actual answer. And Haridas Thakur told them at that time that actually those two effects of chanting, liberation and freedom from material distress and reactions, those are simply byproducts of chanting the holy name. The actual result of chanting the holy name is to attain pure love for the Krishna, for service of Krishna, for the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the actual result. So at this meeting, there was one Mayavadi Brahmin there. He was young, he was handsome, he was very well educated, had a good position in society. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. And he became outraged because in the Mayavad tradition, one has to have great determination to practice austerities for many, many years to attain liberation. And the idea that you can attain liberation simply by namabas was to him unacceptable and infuriating. So he challenged Haridas Thakur and was offensive to Haridas Thakur. And as a result, this Gopal Chakravarti got leprosy as a result of his offense, which further established Haridas Thakur's glories as the Namacharya, that this was the reaction. So one who chants Namaparad, thinking that the name is material or that it's temporary, then his advancement is stopped. Now we must have some appreciation for the glories of the holy name. Even if we cannot experience it fully ourselves, we can still appreciate the potency simply of chanting these names of Krishna. And then gradually, by the mercy of the spiritual master, we can make some advancement in chanting. But it should be known by all of us, the 10 offenses against the holy name. So we can go through those offenses once. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of Krishna. That towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that no one is more dear to him than one who is preaching the holy name, preaching about his glories. So the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is to please the Lord, and if we're blaspheming those people who have dedicated their lives to propagating his glories, there is no question of pleasing him. So this offense will certainly block our progress. So the second offense is yes, to consider the names of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Krishna. So, as we said, Krishna's name is unique. The potency has been given to the holy name of Krishna and has not been given to any material names. And we cannot change what Krishna has done or try to alter it. We've already established that the potency there is inconceivable by his own desire. If we try to limit it or change it by our own idea of what's right or what's wrong or what should be, we simply miss the point. Then the third offense? Yes, thank you. The spiritual master makes very simple requests of us. No eating meat, fish, or eggs. No illicit sex. No intoxication. No gambling. Chant every day, 16 rounds. So in one sense, they're very simple. In this age, everything is working against our doing that practically. So in another sense, they're quite difficult. But nonetheless, once we take that vow, we should take it very seriously. Otherwise, it will block our progress in chanting. The next offense, 4. Yes. To blaspheming the Vedic scriptures and literature which is in pursuance of the Vedic version. That, as I was mentioning, we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So what we're learning from the Shastra. And if we in any way diminish the value of the Shastra, it is to our great detriment. We must always respect it and carry it on our heads, the words of the Shastra. We may understand it, we may not understand it, but nonetheless we carry it on our heads with great reverence. Number 5? Oh, 7. Give some interpretation on the holy name, or consider it imagination. Those are two together, but they're very similar. That, as I was describing, that what we understand about the holy name is there in the Shastra. We cannot change it. We cannot alter it. We have to take it as it is and simply pray for the mercy of the holy name in our lives. I guess we're up to 7 then. That seems to be two together. One is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination, to give some mundane interpretation on the holy name, then to commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting of the holy name. That is considered the mad elephant offense. When one hears about the glories of the holy name, that the holy name has such potency that not only can it eradicate the sins that we've committed in this lifetime, it can also eradicate the sins we've committed in previous lifetimes. It can give us liberation from this material existence. It can deliver us to the lotus feet of Krishna. It can cleanse our hearts. So when we hear like that, I was giving the example before that in Sharanagati we do gardening, and gardening means weeding, which is a polite way of saying killing the living entities. So when we weed, there's one way to weed where you pick up the weed and the roots are still there. You just have the weed, the top of the weed in your hand. So there's benefit to that because it can't produce more seeds. But still, in a few weeks, you have to come back and do it again because the weed grows from those roots. But there's another way of weeding where you actually can pick up the weed with the roots. And at that time, there's a little noise. It's very quiet in Sharanagati. So there's a little noise that you hear of the roots separating from the earth. And then the gardener feels very satisfied, that noise. Because it means you don't have to come back to do that again. That weed is finished. So in the same way, by chanting, not only do we destroy the sinful activities in this lifetime, but we can actually destroy the seed of sinful desire, which will force us to commit sins in the future. That is the potency of the holy name. It can cleanse the heart so we no longer want to do these sinful activities. But the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. So we know chanting will purify me, so let me chant and sin and chant and sin and chant and sin. So that is cheating. And of course, Krishna is aware of that and does not look favorably on the devotee with that mentality. So then the eighth offense. That's the ninth offense. Usually, I mean, there are different ways of... Oh, that's the tenth. We don't want number eight. We're looking for number eight now. That's number ten. That's number ten. We're looking for number eight. That was ten. Yeah. That's nine. Thank you. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as karma kanda, or fruitive activities. That the holy name is transcendental to goodness and passion and ignorance. It's transcendental to piety and impiety. The holy name descends from Goloka Vrindavan. Golok era premadana, Narottam Das Thakur says. So we should never compare it to pious or impious activities. That is also an offense. Then nine, perhaps we mentioned, to chant or to spread the glories of the holy name, to explain the glories of the holy name to those who have no faith in the holy name. Because then, like Gopal Chakravarti, those people may commit offense, and that will be very detrimental for their spiritual progress. Then 10 also came up to you want to say 10 again? Yes. And then we also say it's offensive to be inattentive while chanting. So from this we can go back to the Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in which he says that if we can overcome this one offense of inattention, we will overcome the other 10 offenses. And he describes that inattention, he divides it into three. One is indifference, one is laziness, and the third is distraction. And he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that if we can overcome distraction, we'll overcome indifference, and we'll overcome laziness, and we'll overcome the other 10 offenses. So what is distraction? Distraction means thinking of the opposite sex, thinking of money, thinking of power, thinking of... prestige. These are distractions. So if we can overcome distractions, we'll overcome indifference, we'll overcome laziness, and we'll overcome all these 10 offenses that we just mentioned. So it's, as we know, it's not very easy, but we can pray to become attentive, because without the mercy of the Lord we can't do anything, include chant Hare Krishna properly. And then over time and with enthusiasm and confidence and patience, by and by, the sun of the holy name will rise in the sky of our hearts, and we'll be able to taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So I think there's 5 minutes left if there's any comments on chanting Hare Krishna or discussion. Prabhu? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand the question.
If we think of something in connection to devotional service during the chanting, is that also considered to be inattentive chanting?
That's good progress. That's good progress. Ideally, though, we should just be present to each name one at a time. Hare Krishna, just be present for that Hare and that Krishna, not be thinking about the future service that we've done, or the past service, or what we want to do, but just entirely present. But certainly it's better to think about service than to think about mundane things like the opposite sex and profit adoration distinction and so on and so forth. But the goal is just to be present right here and right now to each syllable of each word of the Maha Mantra.
What if you are present with the holy name?
Yeah, but the name is foremost. Yeah. For sure. Thank you very much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.